This is a podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. It's time to talk health and fitness with Gordon Lynch, Professor of Physiology at the University of Melbourne. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
And you're just back from Florida. We spoke to you from there last week. How did your presentations go?
Very well received. I was very pleased with how it turned out. So I had two engagements, speaking engagements at the University of Florida. The first was a muscle conference. In between my next engagement, between that one and my next engagement, was the submission of the Australian Research Council grant, which went very well as well. And then I had a speaking engagement of three speakers in a neuromuscular plasticity symposium, and I met some wonderful people there, great interactions, wonderful program that they have at the University of Florida, and a privilege to be there. So a very positive thing for me.
Okay, we'll talk about some of the things that you discovered maybe in later talks we have. But what about...
I would like to do that, yes.
What about some time off, though? I mean, did you actually manage to spend any time in the sun or get out to see the sights of Gainesville?
Unfortunately, I was hunkered down in... The thing was, I had the two engagements with the break, and the break was taken up with writing the grant and submitting the grant. So I had wonderful support in Melbourne, and I was working the Florida days and the Florida nights, which coincided with the Melbourne days, and so I got a few hours sleep in between, but the interaction was great, and I thought we ended up with a very good proposal, so I hope that the reviewers will see the same way.
Okay, fantastic. Now, most important question, though, is I know you're a huge fan of in-flight movies. Did you see anything interesting on the way over or back?
That's a very interesting question. In fact, I've actually written them down because I thought, that we have a bit of a rapport with our movies. I'll go through them. The first was The Book Thief.
Oh, yes.
Captain Phillips.
Oh, good, yes.
With Tom Hanks. August Osage County.
Wow, you're seeing all the big movies.
The Counselor. Parkland.
Oh, you finally saw it.
The JFK one.
Yeah, I really want to see that, but it never got a release here.
Is that right? Mm. Inner World, which was another movie I saw, and also Blue Jasmine. So quite a number of films to pass a very long journey. But I thought, out of all of them, August Osage County was my favourite. In terms of just the quality of the acting, okay. I was just blown away by that. Mm. Blue Jasmine, Cate Blanchett, was just magnificent, I thought. Yeah, no, The Counselor was a disturbing film, I must say.
Apparently very bad. I didn't bother to see it.
Yeah, well, there are elements of it which are visually very good, but just the story, it's pretty grisly, and I didn't rate it that highly. Although, I mean, the acting and everything else, I do appreciate the effort that goes into that. They really do a good job. But Parkland, I thought, which was about the shooting of John Fitzgerald Kennedy and the sort of the days after that, it was more like a documentary. It had a documentary yes. feel, and I don't think you can escape that, of course, but... I thought it was reasonably good, but on my list there, it didn't rank. I think it ranked the lowest, actually.
Okay, fair enough. That's why it didn't get a release, I suppose.
Maybe.
Now, Gordon, here's something interesting. A study has found that simply remembering a positive experience about exercise might be all that's needed to keep us exercising. Now, that may be true. I've never actually had a positive experience exercising, and I've only ever had negative ones, so maybe that's working against me.
I just absolutely knew you were going to go down that way, because you don't have a positive thing about exercise, even despite my best efforts. Well, it is an important message, because the motivation to exercise is a big barrier for many people, and when we know from a public health perspective, but in terms of the link between physical activity and many chronic diseases, as well as overweight and obesity, if we can identify ways that can get people motivated to engage in regular exercise, then that's going to be important for not just the individuals, but for the nation in relation to healthcare and other things. And we know that media campaigns targeting physical activity, they sort of get the information out there. There's no question about that, and it's great. But the influence on behavioural change is not really clear. and just having the knowledge about, well, exercise is good for you. And I hope that our listeners are just taking not just that message on board that we communicate each week about the benefits of exercise, but how we engage then in making it happen. You know, getting people motivated to maintain a regular exercise program is really where it's needed to make these things happen.
Okay. So where does it all begin? How far back do you have to think for a positive experience?
The study, this is an interesting study. No previous study has examined the motivational impact of your own autobiographical memories. You know, could using your memories motivate your future behaviour in this context of exercise? But if you remembered a positive exercise memory, were you more likely to feel positive towards exercise? And I know if in your case you've had negative things and therefore you don't want to do it, but is it going to change your future behaviours in terms of exercise? And this is the study that was conducted by researchers from the University of New Hampshire in Durham, New Hampshire, and was published in the journal Memory, and that they find the first evidence, that they've published the first evidence that this concept called autobiographical memory activation. That's very fancy, doesn't it? But it's essentially your own memories and activating your own memories about this exercise can be an effective tool for motivating you to adopt a healthy lifestyle. And they did an elaborate questionnaire and they examined about 150 students, college students, university students, average age around about 19 years, and they were asked to recall either a positive or a negative memory that would increase their motivation to exercise. So another group were not asked to recall this, and they were the control group. And they surveyed the students a week later. So they had all this thing documented, and they surveyed them a week later to see whether they reported an increase in exercise. And they found that the students that remembered a positive exercise memory were the ones that had a significantly higher level of subsequent exercise compared with those that were not asked to recall a memory about exercise. Now, the other thing is that's interesting to you is that the researchers also found that the students who were asked to recall a negative exercise memory also reported exercising a little bit more than the control group,
but much
less than those that had a positive thing. So even the positive and the negative had some effect on the behaviour. And it wasn't necessarily a reduction in the behaviour. It may have been something that they considered, well, I didn't do it well this time, I can do it better next time.
Yeah.
And of course, there are others that feel negatively about exercise for different reasons. And it may be about experiences they've had in a fitness class or other things. And I think we can get beyond that to think about, well, we know why exercise is important. What can we actually do to make it more effective? How can I be motivated to get going and to stay with the program?
Okay, well, how can we be motivated? Why is it that some people, are more motivated than others? Is it just like anything in their lives?
In some cases, we could put it simply to the level of people's individual motivation, but there are other factors that influence that. And I think we often tend to overcomplicate matters, and keeping exercise simple, keeping it convenient. If you're walking or jogging or running, you don't need that much equipment or anything else to actually do it. So it's a convenient way of exercising. If you have, and I've talked about having a basic gym set up in your own home, you don't have to go out to a fitness centre or whatever. If you're apprehensive about training with other people, you can train by yourself. It's having that motivation. You just need to get into that particular habit and have that good experience, which will make you want to do more. And certainly for me, in terms of my own exercise program, I have it's a simple sort of basic weight training program incorporated with a treadmill exercise program. And if I can get that in a consistent fashion, I get very positive benefits, which makes me want to do it more. So keeping it enjoyable. The exercises have to be enjoyable. If you hate running, there's no point going out there and thinking, geez, I hate this. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to work for you. Choose something that's going to be part of your motivation. If you like swimming, then swim. If you like riding a bike, go out and ride a bike. If you like walking, do that. So I think that keeping it fun is a simple thing. And keeping the goals realistic. And this also relates to how we stick with our program as well. But our motivation to exercise should be a realistic achievement. It should be something where if we're overweight and we want to lose weight in a significant amount of weight, we don't say, well, I have done this exercise once and I haven't lost a kilo. It doesn't make sense. You've got to stick with the program and let the benefits accumulate. And as the benefits accumulate, you're actually losing weight. So I think these are sort of the simple messages that we need to take. Don't overcomplicate matters. Keep it simple. Keep it fun. Keep it realistic. And then we can think about how we can stick with the program.
Okay. Gordon Lynch, our guest, talking health and fitness. So how do you stick with the program? Because we've been through this many, many times. Mm. And whether it be deciding to exercise every day or every second day or exercising at home or exercising at work or climbing stairs or any of those many, many things you've talked about over the years, is the greatest motivator seeing the results? Is that the best motivator there is?
The individual motivator will differ between people. I'll give you my personal motivation to keep exercising is my health. And it's I'm not the fittest person on earth. I'm not the strongest person on earth, etc. But I do maintain a reasonable level of health. And I know that because it's a result of my consistent training, and I'm not doing something which is going to win me an Olympic gold medal, etc. The thing is, it's a realistic program designed to maintain my muscle strength, improve my range of motion and flexibility, improve my aerobic fitness and so on in a way which is going to keep me healthy. That's my motivator, and that feeds on itself. And so there are other things that I know that people will have other motivations. And I think we, again, tend to overcomplicate matters. And so keeping it simple, but being flexible in your approach. If you miss a session, don't panic. I mean, it's okay. Simply reschedule. If you can't do it the next day, you know, I've been traveling for the last 2 weeks. I did a couple of sessions in a hotel exercise room. I couldn't even call it a gymnasium. The equipment I thought was ordinary. There was a trade-off there between overdoing it and getting injured. So I went sensible and thought, well, when I get back, I'll get... Now, I've put enough in the bank, so to speak, that it will help me focus on what I need to do without being paranoid about missing an exercise session. That's fine. So it's about planning, keeping it as consistent as possible, but also being realistic in what you can achieve. I think that's important. Not overdoing it is an important thing. Just taking it in small steps and breaking down the overall major goal into sub-goals which are realistic and achievable. And in terms of other things, right, in terms of motivation, if you require someone else to help you out, train with a partner, train with a personal trainer. You might need someone to spur you on to get you motivated. Some people need that assistance. Others are self-motivated. That's great. But there are many options out there if you need it, if you need that extra level of motivation that people can provide that. There are many ways that we can approach it. Yes, it's often about self-motivation, but having that positive experience and saying, well, why am I exercising in the first place? I'm not there to win a gold medal and so on, but I am actually interested in my personal health, and by keeping healthy, I'm doing being responsible for my family and so on. I think these are really the motivating factors that inspire me, and I think are more realistic and achievable things for most of us.
I always think of the motivating factor for Brooke Shields, for example, the well-known actress who was trying to lose weight, exercise every day, of course, get fitter, and she was married to Andre Agassi at the time. And what she did was put a picture of Steffi Graf on the fridge to say, well, I want to be that fit. And she looked at it every single day. Unfortunately, Andre Agassi also did, and he ended up splitting with Brooke Shields and marrying Steffi Graf. So, you know, there was that kind of byproduct of what
Not the Brooke outcome Shields I think did. She was looking for.
No, definitely not. Whether that story is true or not, I don't know, but it's around and it's a good one. So perhaps put a picture on your fridge of who you'd like to look like, you know, fitness-wise, and see what happens.
Yeah, look, we can turn to those sort of motivation. When I was a junior, it was, you know, Sylvester Stallone and the Rocky movies, and you're disappointing in me too, Rod. My teachers used to say, "Gee, I expected a bit more from you."
Yes.
But I thought, well, hang on a sec, what's wrong with that? And to be honest, I still look back to those days when I was a young teenager.
Mm-hmm.
They were the motivating factors. They kept me going pretty well for a long time, so I have no regrets about that.
When it comes to boxers and looking like a boxer, then I suppose I'm a little bit more like Raging Bull
In the aftermath.
Yeah, that's right. When at the start of the film, when he's doing his stand-up routine in the nightclub, but you know.
Well, talk about taping up pictures. The boxers put the pictures on the thing and say, "I'm going to beat this guy,"
so
it becomes a motivating tool for them. So, look, this particular, this is a, you know, there's not a perfect study, but it's an interesting study to think about the positive experiences that we have that influence the next things that we do, and I think we can take some positive things from that and apply it to our own exercise motivation and just see if it works for us.
Okay. Well, in the words of Rocky, you got to fly now, or going to fly now. So, Gordon, thank you very much. Talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
This has been another podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn.